RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Riots in Tanjung Balai must be resolved seriously. Indonesian government asked to restrict tobacco import and save local farmers. Indonesian Presidential Art Collection exhibition officially opened. Now the news in detail. The House of Representatives DPR has asked the government and the law enforcement agencies to seriously resolve cases of violence in Tanjung Balai, North Sumatra. Deputy Speaker of the House, Fadli Zon, expressed concern over the riot that led to some houses of worship damage. He assessed in Jakarta on Monday that the issues of ethnicity, religion, race, and groups must be addressed seriously. All stakeholders, both the government and the people, have to cooperate to maintain harmony of religious followers. In addition, he also asked the authorities to improve the vigilance when seeing signs of unconducive situations so that possible conflict can be anticipated, not widely spread. Moreover, Fadli Zon also hopes the community can promote mutual respect and dialogue when there is misunderstanding. Indonesian government is asked to restrict import of tobacco to save the farmers across Indonesia and to stipulate regulations that favor for farmers' interests. Director of Wahid Foundation, Yeni Wahid, said in her statement on Sunday that she urged the government and the House of Representatives to immediately ratify the draft law of tobacco in a bid to save the tobacco farmers in Indonesia. She remarked that the sovereignty of tobacco farmers is now threatened due to rise of imported tobacco, which invaded Indonesia, especially from China. Yeni views that tobacco is an asset of Indonesia. Thus, the government must enact immediately laws which cover the interests of tobacco farmers and relies on prosperity for farmers. The soon-to-be-implemented policy of Bank Indonesia 7-day repo rate has received positive review from the market. Analysts from the Samuel Sekuritas Rangga Cipta said that it can help rebound Bank Indonesia's credibility. Rangga is optimistic that the policy can also encourage investment. However, Rangga said that the market still knows a little about the policy. The 7-day repo rate will be implemented on August 19, 2016. The campaign has begun since April. In the transitional period, Bank Indonesia will maintain BI rate as interest, while the 7-day repo rate will be monetary interest rate term structure. The Indonesian Presidential Art Collection exhibition with the theme Goresan Juang Kemerdekaan or Scratches of Indonesia's Struggle is officially open on Monday, August 1, 2016. The State Secretary Pratikno at the opening ceremony said that the exhibition is part of the Indonesian 71st Independence Day commemoration series. The State Secretary also said that the implementation of the exhibition is aimed to bring the palace art collection can be enjoyed and admired by the people of Indonesia widely.
Pada saat ini, keseluruhan benda koleksi seni istana mencapai lebih dari 15.000 item
There are 15,000 art collections in the palace, consisted of paintings, ceramics, and other art collections. 3,000 among the collections are made by the Indonesian and foreign maestros. It is smaller number than the existing collections. The collection has been through the curation process. There are also 28 paintings created by 21 Indonesian painters, including the work of President Sukarno. Pratikno explained that the exhibition is held from August 1st until 31st at the National Gallery, Jakarta. Most of the paintings are the collections of President Sukarno, which are curated by Mika Susanto and Rizky Zailani. Besides paintings, there are also presidential pictures and 10 presidential books collections. The pictures are taken from the Presidential Press Bureau and media. At the opening ceremony, President Joko Widodo also symbolically signed the Presidential Paintings Collection book. The event is also supported with seminar and painting competition. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Stock Exchange was officially held Institutional Investor Day and Investor Day 2016. In an event which is held in Jakarta on August 1st to 4th, through there will be 63 listed companies will present their business performances and prospects for the future. The Indonesian Stock Exchange President Director Tito Sulistyo in Jakarta Monday, August 1st, hope through this event, investors and prospective investors are able to interact directly with the directors and management of each issuer. According to Tito, it has asked the 63 listed companies to be transparent in discussing performances. Tito also hoped the 63 issuers or listed companies to convey their performance information and the business development openly. In the event, the first 2 days is a special time for institutional investors. Exposure in the first 2 days is to invite managers of pension funds, insurance managers, members of Indonesian Securities Analyst Association, managers of local and foreign investment, as well as other special invitations. While in the past 2 days, BI or Indonesian Stock Exchange invited the entire community that have been capital market investors to participate in these activities. BPJS Ketenagakerjaan or BPJS Ketenagakerjaan, Indonesia's Workers' Social Security Agency, sealed a partnership with South Korea's Public Pension Fund, the National Pension Service of Korea, or NPS, to provide services for the Indonesian workers in Korea and vice versa, the agency said in a statement on Sunday. A memorandum of understanding between the two agencies was signed at the NPS headquarters in Seoul by BPJS or BPJS Ketenagakerjaan President Director Agus Susanto and NPS Chief Executive Jung Pyo Moon on July 26. Under the agreement, Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea can sign up to the agency's pension savings program through the NPS and claim the benefits once their contract is up. Indonesian workers had been finding it difficult to access social security services in South Korea, with many workers returning home without ever getting the benefits they were entitled to. Last year, the Indonesian agency signed similar partnerships with its counterpart in other countries, including Malaysia's Social Security Organization. The last item. Wreath of condolences flowers from former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Mrs. Ani Yudhoyono, as well as Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahayapurnama, were among those sent to the residence of the late singer Mike Mohede in Bintaro, South Tangerang, Monday morning, August 1, 2016. The flowers were arrived at the same time at around 9:30 a.m. Western Indonesia time, adding to those already sent by Mike's best friends such as Bunga Citra Lestari and Ashraf, Dewi Sandra and Indra Warkop. A day before his death, Mike performed at the celebration of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Ani Yudhoyono's wedding anniversary on Friday evening. Mike died at age 32 from heart attack in his sleep at his house Sunday evening, July 31, 2016. He was pronounced dead upon arrival at Premier Hospital Bintaro. He will be buried Tuesday at Tanah Kusir Public Cemetery, South Jakarta. The man whose full name is Michael Prabowo Mohede, born on November 7, 1983, rose to prominence in the music industry after winning Indonesia Idol second season in 2005. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Riots in Tanjung Balai must be resolved seriously. Indonesian government has to restrict tobacco import and save local farmers. Indonesian Presidential Art Collection exhibition officially opened. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary today entitled "The Sentence for Drug Case Convicts." On Friday morning, 29th July, Indonesian government executed 4 convicts in the death row of drug cases. Previously, there were 14 death row inmates scheduled to be executed. However, only 4 of them were really executed. They are Freddy Budiman, a citizen of Indonesia, and 3 Nigerian citizens, namely Seth Osmane, Michael Titus Ikwe, and Humphrey Ejike. The death penalty execution under President Joko Widodo administration went ahead despite opposition from the international community and human rights organizations, even from the European Union. Previously, UN Human Rights Commissioner Sheikh Ra'ad Al Hussein urged Indonesia to immediately impose a moratorium on the execution, which was echoed by Amnesty International. On Tuesday, July 28, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged Indonesian government to delay the execution of death row inmates of narcotic cases and urged President Joko Widodo to announce a moratorium on the execution. Ban Ki-moon's statement was based on the international law, which says the capital sentence can only be used for very serious crimes, and he considered drug crimes generally do not include in this category, though drugs and narcotics abuse in Indonesia have reached an alarming rate. Manager of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime to Indonesia, Coley Brown, in an exclusive interview with Arrival Service Voice of Indonesia some time ago, said that the Asian region is one of the promising markets for the spread of illicit drugs. As it known, Indonesia is the 4th most populous country in the world. It has also a large young population. But unfortunately, the big number of young people in Indonesia turns out to be a huge market for the international narcotics and traffickers. According to data from the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, in Indonesia, average 33 people die every day because of drugs, and the cost of the drugs is estimated to reach 63 trillion rupiah per year. The number of drug users also increased from 4.2 million users in June 2015 to 5.9 million people in November 2015. Indonesian government must have a firm standpoint. The National Narcotic Agency, BNN, and law enforcement agencies have to combat drug-related crimes. In addition, the role of communities is also important to anticipate the spread of drug abuse in their respective environments. The war against trafficking, abuse of narcotics and illicit drugs should be done indiscriminately. Anyone who is involved, whether Indonesian or foreign citizens, employees, students, even police officers, should be given sanctions and severe penalties, including death sentence. Hopefully, the death sentence against narcotics dealers can provide a deterrent effect, especially for international narcotics network, and can prove that Indonesia is no longer a haven for trafficking and distribution of narcotics. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again with me, Rahmana Rahmana, in our regular program, Today in History, over Air Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on August 1st, 1914, when World War I began. The killing of Austrian Crown Prince François Ferdinand in Sarajevo on June 28, 1914, by Gavrilo Princip, who was a member of Greater Serbia Movement, sparked the outbreak of the First World War. When he and his wife visited to see closely what exercise in Bosnia, in fact, the war exercise was considered as a challenge by Greater Serbia, which was supported by Russia. Then Austria sent an ultimatum to Serbia, followed by war announcement. The World War I was begun because of the war announcement from Germany to Russia on 1st of August 1914. After launching war to Russia, Germany also fought against France, and the war expanded rapidly. The next event was in 1980 when Vigdís Finnbogadóttir was elected as president of Iceland. Vigdís Finnbogadóttir is an Icelandic politician who served as the fourth president of Iceland from 1980 to 1966. She was both Iceland's and Europe's first female president and the world's first democratically elected female president. With the presidency in exactly 16 years, she also remained the longest-serving elected female head of state of any country to date. Currently, she is UNESCO Goodwill Ambassador and a member of the Club of Madrid. She is also to date Iceland's only female president. And the next event was when Maria Corazon served as the 11th president of the Philippines. Maria Corazon, or Cory Smolon Gonjanco Aquino, formerly known as Cory Aquino, was a Filipino politician who served as the 11th president of the Philippines, the first woman to hold the office and the first female president in Asia. Aquino was the most prominent figure of the 1986 People Power Revolution, which toppled the 20-year authoritarian rule of President Ferdinand Marcos and restored democracy to the Philippines. She was named Time Magazine's Woman of the Year in 1986. Prior to this, she had not held any other elected office. On March 24, 2008, Aquino's family announced that the former president had been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. Aquino, aged 76 years old, died peacefully at the Makati Medical Center on August 1st of cardiorespiratory arrest. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is Air Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with focus. Today's focus is on bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Egypt increases from year to year. Indonesia and Egypt have a long history of cooperation, which until now keeps on increasing. Mutual visits between the two countries' leaders, including scholars, are also conducted. Minister of Religious Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that Indonesia and Egypt enjoy a long history of close relationship. In his speech on the anniversary of the 46th Independence Day of the Republic of Egypt in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Lukman stated that the unforgotten fact in the history of Indonesia is when Egypt became the first country to recognize the independence of Indonesia from Dutch colonialist and Japanese occupation. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said that the visit of President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to Indonesia from 4th to 5th September 2015 had made bilateral relations between the two countries stronger in all sectors, especially in religious cooperation, trade, industry, investment, education, and tourism. Minister Lukman added that in February 2016, President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla received the visit of Grand Sheikh of Al-Azhar, Professor Ahmad Muhammad Al-Tayeb, to Indonesia with the aim at enhancing the positive image of Islam as a religion of peace. Minister Lukman Hakim also said that the two countries had many similarities in their political position in international community and support each other in the fight for the interests of developing and Islamic countries. In addition to economic and other fields, one of the important cooperation between Indonesia and Egypt is in the field of education. Minister Lukman Hakim said that the Grand Sheikh Al-Ashar Professor Dr. Ahmad Muhammad Al-Tayeb had announced an offer of 100 scholarships per year for Indonesian students. Previously, it was only 50. Since 1960, Egypt has been known by Indonesian students as a destination country for study, especially at Al-Azhar. Today, more than 3,500 Indonesian students study in Egypt. Meanwhile, Egyptian ambassador to Indonesia, Ibrahim Dasoki Bahaldem Bahkat, in his speech expresses appreciation for the cooperation between Indonesia and Egypt, which has been already established and is getting stronger over the years. Earlier, during a visit to Egypt on July 24, 2016, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin had a meeting with Egyptian Indomie Minister Muhammad Mukhtar Juma in Cairo, Egypt. They discussed the phenomenon of extremism and terrorism in the name of religion. Both of them agreed that it is important to conduct training for the moderate-minded preachers to spread the understanding of people Islam or Rahmatan lil Alami. The Egyptian Indomie Minister Muhammad Mukhtar emphasized the importance of training for moderate-minded preachers. The cooperation in publishing and translation of religious books in Indonesia to strengthen misunderstanding about the Islamic concept. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. The House of Representatives, DPR, has asked the government and the law enforcement agencies to seriously resolve cases of violence in Tanjung Balai, North Sumatra. Deputy Speaker of the House, Fadli Zon, expressed concern over the riot that led to some houses of worship damage. Indonesian government is asked to restrict import of tobacco to save the farmers across Indonesia and to stipulate regulations that favor for farmers' interests. Director of Wahid Foundation, Yeni Wahid, said in her statement on Sunday that she urged the government and the House of Representatives to immediately ratify the draft law of tobacco in a bid to save the tobacco farmers in Indonesia. The soon-to-be-implemented policy of Bank Indonesia, 7-day repo rate, has received positive review from the market. Analysts from the Samuel Sekuritas Rangkacipta said that it can help rebound Bank Indonesia's credibility. The Indonesian Presidential Art Collection exhibition with the theme Goresan Juang Kemerdekaan or Scratches of Indonesia's Struggle is officially opened on Monday, August 1, 2016. The State Secretary Pratikno at the opening ceremony said that the exhibition is part of the Indonesian 71st Independence Day Commemoration Series. Indonesian Stock Exchange was officially held Institutional Investor Day and Investor Day 2016. In an event which is held in Jakarta on August 1st to 4th, there will be 63 listed companies will present their business performances and prospects for the future. BI President Director Tito Sulistyo in Jakarta Monday, August 1st, hoped through this event, investors and prospective investors are able to interact directly with the directors and management of each listed company. BPJS Ketenagakerjaan, Indonesia's Workers' Social Security Agency, sealed a partnership with South Korea's Public Pension Fund, the National Pension Service of Korea, or NPS, to provide services for Indonesian workers in Korea and vice versa, the agency said in a statement Sunday. Wreath of condolence flowers from former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Mrs. Ani Yudhoyono, as well as Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahyapurnama, were among those sent to the resident of the late singer Mike Mohede in Bintaro, South Tangerang, Monday morning, August 1, 2016. The flowers were arrived at the same time at around 9:30 a.m. Western Indonesia time, adding to those already sent by Mike's best friends such as Bunga Citra Lestari and Ashraf, Dewi Sandra and Indra Warkop. Mike died at age 32 from heart attack in his sleep at his house Sunday evening, July 31, 2016. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Taman Ayodhya. Stay tuned. Listeners, as the capital of the Republic of Indonesia, Jakarta is fulfilled by skyscrapers building and thousands of vehicles back and forth. Surely the condition makes the atmosphere of Jakarta is quite congested and highly air pollution. But amid this condition, there are refreshing oases in Jakarta as it has some cool city parks. One of them is Ayodhya Park. The park is located at Jalan Barito, Kramat Pela, Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. To reach the place, you can use a metro minibus from Blok M Terminal. Listener, because the park is located on Jalan Barito, so Ayodhya Park is also called Barito Park. The name Ayodhya is based on a future paradise garden of Alengka Kingdom because the park is very famous for its beauty. Once the area of Ayodhya Park was used as a place for ornamental fish traders. This location was also used as the ornamental fish central area in Jakarta. But after the fish market moved, the location is then built the city park area. On March 15, 2009, Taman Ayodhya or Ayodhya Park, then inaugurated by Jakarta Governor Fauzi Bowo. The Ayodhya Park, standing on the area of 7,500 square meters, the park is formed as a circle, therefore the park looks like an island. The park's outer surroundings are decorated by tropical tall trees. Then on the inside, there are overgrown smaller trees, green grass, various kinds of beautiful flowers, jogging track covering an area of 1,700 square meters, gazebo, pavilion, and lawn chairs. Furthermore, in the center of the park there is an artificial lake covering 1,500 square meters, which is also overgrown the lotus plant, as well as the variety of decoration in the form of an octopus shape of lights and fountains. Listener, visiting the Ayodhya Park, you can enjoy the cool views and beautiful park. You can relax to sit in gazebo or lawn chair there while enjoying the scenery. You can visit the park in the morning to do sport, where the running tracks is available for free. During the day, you can take pictures amidst the trees. At night, you can enjoy the beauty of the park through the lights that will illuminate the park. Do not worry to eat and drink, because sellers of food and beverages are also available in and around the park. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topics Taman Ayodhya or Ayodhya Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Mencari Restoran, which in English means looking for restaurant. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Mencari. Mencari, which means to look for. Restoran. Restoran, which means restaurant. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu, which means Saturday. Mengajak. Mengajak, which means to invite. Teman. Teman, which means friend. Makan malam. Makan malam, which means dinner. Tahu. Tahu, which means to know. Restoran. Restoran, which means restaurant. Enak. Enak, which means delicious. Makanan. Makanan, which means food. Khas. Khas, which means typical. Jauh. Jauh, which means far. Rumah. Rumah, which means house. Satu kilometer. Satu kilometer, which means 1 kilometer. Seberang. Seberang, which means across. Rumah sakit. Rumah sakit, which means hospital. Nyaman. Nyaman, which means comfortable. Malam. Malam, which means night. Pesan tempat. Pesan tempat, which means to reserve a place. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Mencari Restoran, or in English means looking for a restaurant. The conversation is between A. Anne and B. Devi at the office. A. Anne, hari Sabtu saya akan mengajak teman makan malam. Hari Sabtu saya akan mengajak teman makan malam, which means I want to invite my friend to have a dinner on Saturday. Apakah kamu tahu restoran yang enak? Apakah kamu tahu restoran yang enak? Which means, do you know where is a good restaurant? B. Bagaimana kalau restoran Bandar Jakarta? Bagaimana kalau restoran Bandar Jakarta? Which means, How about the Bandar Jakarta restaurant? A. An. Apa makanan khas restoran itu? Apa makanan khas restoran itu? Which means, what is a typical food of the restaurant? B. Dewi. Makanan khas restoran itu adalah seafood. Makanan khas restoran itu adalah seafood, which means the typical food of the restaurant is seafood. A. An. Apakah jauh dari rumah saya? Apakah jauh dari rumah saya? Which means, is it far from my house? B. Dewi. Dari rumah kamu tidak terlalu jauh. Dari rumah kamu tidak terlalu jauh, which means it is not too far from your house. Kira-kira 1 kilometer. Kira-kira 1 kilometer, which means it's about 1 kilometer. Letaknya di seberang rumah sakit. Letaknya di seberang rumah sakit, which means the restaurant is located across the hospital. Selain makanannya enak, restoran itu juga nyaman. Selain makanannya enak, restoran itu juga nyaman, which means besides delicious foods, the restaurant is also comfortable. Kalau malam ada live music. Kalau malam ada live music, which means there is also available live music at night. A. N. Terima kasih. Kalau begitu saya akan ke sana. Terima kasih. Kalau begitu saya akan ke sana, which means thank you. So, I will be there. Saya mau pesan tempat dulu. Saya mau pesan tempat dulu, which means I will reserve the place first.
Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow, and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to a Kroncong singer, Kusbini. Listener, all the Indonesian people must familiarly know the Indonesian national anthem, Indonesia Raya, and other national songs such as Padamu Negeri. The song becomes an opening song in various state ceremonies in the country. The song Padamu Negeri was composed by Kusbini. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song by Kusbini entitled Padamu Negeri. Happy listening.
Thank you.
The song Padamu Negeri was composed at the suggestion of the first Indonesian president Sukarno, when on an occasion the president suggested Kuspini to compose a song that gives much spirit to the people's struggle. After the meeting, Kuspini made his work, which then became the national song entitled Padamu Negeri. The song is usually sung on flag-raising ceremony and the introduction of the state events, as well as to give spirit to the Indonesian athletes in the international competitions. He actually was a singer and managed to win the radio and television singing competition for Kroncong category in 1956. Besides, he was also a composer of Kroncong music in Indonesia. Some of his works are Kroncong Telamoyo, Moretsko, and Kroncong Purbakala. The listener, now let's listen to another song entitled Kroncong Telamoyo to be sung and composed by Kuspini.
Ingin berlagu Sejak zaman dulu kala, siapa
A man who was born in Mojokerto in East Java in 1942 was also the founder of a music school in Yogyakarta that currently called AMI Yogyakarta. During his lifetime, Kusbini also writes specifically about Kroncong. One of his works entitled The History of Indonesian Kroncong Music Art. For his services in the field of Kroncong, he obtained a number of awards from the government and his name used as the street name in Yogyakarta, Jalan Kusbini, and the name of Raden Kusbini International Airport of Pandeglang. Well, listener, to end this segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song by Kusbini entitled Kroncong Morisco. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa.
ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu. Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Kini ku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku dengan dia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.